Hey there. We at Blue Wire wanted to thank you for your continued support of this podcast. With over 90 podcasts across our network, we are committed to bringing you great content to fill that sports-shaped hole in your heart. To find more Blue Wire Pods, search for us on iTunes or check out BlueWirePods.com. And remember, one day sports will return and it will be glorious. Thanks for listening. On to the show.
Welcome to a live edition. If you're catching it live, we appreciate you being here. If you're not catching it live, we also appreciate you being here. Listen to us in your car, wherever you are during this quarantine, hopefully actually just in your house. But welcome to episode 35 of Boys at 161st Street. I am one of your hosts, as you can see. My name's Luke Rella. I'm here with my boys, the other boys of 161st Street.
Damon, this is like reverse, so it's like I go left, I go right, it goes left.
Yeah,
it's the other way around.
So you can see you can see our little cartoons in the bottom. Where am I? I'm on the bottom right. That's me over there.
I'm the one with the better beard on the right as well.
Yeah, that's how you know.
It's kind of bullshit because when the logo first came out, our beards were pretty comparable. You had me by a little bit, but not as much. As you know what was though, shown like, in the logo, but now because I've had to shave a little bit, it's pretty good.
I've made it my duty, I think, to because of this logo that came out. I just need to grow my beard out, and I've been embracing it.
Well, because they made your beard like look, you looked like a superhero for some reason. You were so.
What do you expect? I mean, I just got to grow it out now. I got to make it thicker and better.
You got to get to the gym too. They made you enormous.
Well, the good thing is that you can only see this part, so no one knows what the bottom half looks like. So,
I just told everybody that never shave. So Rico said never shave. Yeah, I haven't. That's how
never again. What happened with me was I had my beard pretty big, and I was normal shaping and whatever. And then I went to go fishing with a couple of my buddies, but I was trying to get the mask to fit, and I had to wear one, and the mask wouldn't fit, so I had to.
I had to hack it off. The illest beard hair the other day, because I was wearing a mask, and it was all to the side. When I took it off, it was just like it was all over here.
Yeah,
that's why you shaved.
Trying to get it back.
That's why I shaved. I shaved like the sides because it was like I couldn't fit the mask on.
That's wild. I mean,
quarantine, man.
That's how you know which one I am in the cartoon, because I'm the only one that doesn't have a beard, and I'm not Kev. So.
Yeah, you're right. I'm never going to shave. You're right.
When I shaved mine, though, it was kind of funny because even the chin that I left used to be way longer. So I had like an Anthony Rendon thing going on where everything was shaved except the chin part of the goatee, which was going down, kind of far.
Yeah.
It
pulled the goatee off. I gotta say, you're definitely pulling the goatee off.
I don't know how I feel about it, but we'll see.
We're gonna get
hopefully
into
it. Comes back.
Now's the time to try new things.
This is a good conversation to have, too, because one of the pod topics is about some Yankee beards. We got a voicemail about best Yankee beards since they have left or before, but we'll get into that later. Before we start, we got some actual good news to talk about. Before we start, how are you guys feeling today?
Great. Actually, feeling great. Did a lot of DIY today.
A lot of DIY.
Good stuff. Yeah. I've done much.
Hello.
It's pretty average.
Chicks do love the beard, but what was I going to say? All right, whatever. I mean, actually, before we get into the baseball, I wanted to get your guys' opinion because I know you're both Jet fans. And what was your opinion on the draft? How did it go for you guys?
I'll give the outsider look because I'm not too involved in the football scouting as much as Murph is, but
Murph's a pro scout.
I don't know. We had I'm just happy one, we didn't take a defensive lineman. We took an offensive lineman for the first time in 26 years. So that was nice. It was either that or a wide receiver, and we went with one of them. I was surprised we got a quarterback in the fourth round, though. That was one of those.
You were surprised you got a quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm an Eagles fan.
I know, but Wentz
Jalen Hurts.
least you got a like a recognizable quarterback, and Wentz is kind of, you know, iffy.
Wentz is very good, and I'll talk about that for a second. I'm very happy with Wentz, but I actually have had time to think about it, because at first I was so like just caught off guard, as I should be, but I'm happy they got it. It's a good insurance policy the way I see it.
Yeah,
because when he inevitably goes down in week 14, misses two games or something, we could still end up doing well. Because we had Josh McCown, who didn't really get it going on for us. So
We've had Josh McCown, don't worry.
I think everyone's had Josh McCown.
Yeah. He's been around. I was happy with the offensive line. I like Becton. I think he's huge, so that was cool.
He's a massive man.
I wanted CeeDee Lamb really bad. I kind of hated to see him go. You know, we got the kid from was he from Baylor? I'm forgetting already. It's like Mims or whoever the receiver was in the second round. He was looking pretty good. They did it all right. We'll see. No Jamal Adams this year, though, I don't think.
Yeah.
I hope not.
All right. So
let's get into baseball.
Let's get into our first baseball topic.
Let's get into baseball.
So we're actually – I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I mean, we got new – like, I don't know. For some reason, I was feeling good before we got this news, but then Jeff Passan comes out with an article and basically gives us hope. Like, this just came out 4 hours ago. Jeff Passan tweeted out an article and some key points from it. I'm not going to just sit here and read the entire article to you guys, but some key points from it. One cool part was, yes, we'll over the past 2 weeks, as it states, have begun to plan their reopenings. Nearly everyone along the decision-making continuum, league officials, players, union leaders, owners, doctors, politicians, TV power brokers, team executives, it's a long list of people, but basically everybody's on the same page saying that there has grown increasingly optimistic that there will be baseball this year. So that's cool. That's really cool to me. I mean, because that just came out of left field, because we've been feeling like we've been making no strides at it, and this just gives everybody a little bit of hope. And another excerpt I wanted to point out, what gives Manfred and others so much confidence that there will be a season? And Manfred responded and said, incentives. It's not just that everybody wants a season, it's the doom and gloom over what will happen if there isn't one, which I agree with. And yeah. I agree with that, but I don't agree with the reasoning as to why they're confident because that's just saying, yeah, like you're pushing. It would be so bad if we didn't have it, so we're gonna have it. You know,
yeah. It's almost like we're not trying to have it because that's what we should be doing. We're trying to have it because, oh shit, if we don't have it, then the aftermath is gonna be 1,000% worse. I'm all for it, regardless of how we get baseball. I just want it to happen. If it's in Arizona, if it's on Mars, if it's in New York, I don't care. I want to watch something. And a lot of people get pushed back on, it's not going to be the same. Obviously, it's not going to be the same, but put it in perspective, would you rather not, you know, you either watch baseball on the TV, which I guarantee, what percent of games do you think you watch on TV?
I mean, everyone we don't go to.
Yeah. You probably watch upwards of 95% of games on TV. So the actual experience of you watching the game, it's not going to change a whole lot. I know that it's going to change for a couple of people. It's going to change for the players a lot too. Like the playing field of, I know they're talking about putting players in the stands or limited mound visits and limiting contact with people, which I think that's when you start to get a little iffy on the rules. But I know, again, whichever way we can at baseball, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I agree. I just think, like, the tricky part is going to be, you know, having who's going to be allowed in the stadium during these. They're going to have to be on TV. There's going to have to be X amount of people. So the idea for Arizona was to basically have everybody down there. Is it going to be that way? Or are they still going to be traveling city to city? So that's the thing. And the plan's going to be in place by May 31st, so we'll see.
Yeah, and I feel like we're more likely to have a central location that players are going to be playing. I can't see a world where we're just going to open up and start traveling everywhere again. And I know that Cuomo said something about where we have baseball in the summer.
Yeah, I'll read the stands. Tweet. He said, New York Governor Cuomo envisions baseball games being played at Yankee Stadium and Citi Field without fans this summer. So on that, I mean, politics aside, anything else like that, this is strictly a baseball podcast, but that just doesn't make any sense to me because, like, obviously New York is still going to be a little bit of a wreck no matter what time in the summer, whenever it's going to be. Like, if games are going to be played without fans, why does it matter if they're played in Citi Field and Yankee Stadium? Like, I don't care. Like, the benefit of it being Yankee Stadium and Citi Field is that I can go to the game. Like, not like what is it? What does it matter at all if, like if it's going to be televised? I don't care if I'm if there are people in this. Like, if it's in New York, like you're at that point you're pushing it. Like, why? I don't get why even bring that up.
The whole point of having games at your home field and away field is for fan engagement and crowd engagement and to have that aspect of the game, which is going to completely change. You know, think about, I know I hate bringing this up, but the Astros at away teams this year, they're not going to get that. They're going to get the same level of fan volume and engagement that every other team's going to get.
Could you imagine they still get thrown out?
I think they will. Because the players are mad too.
I would love it. Because then it would just be, I don't know. Then it's just like the players just being just so mad. Like, they didn't do that because they fed from the crowd or anything like that. Like, they just came in that day and said, I'm going to hit this guy. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to brawl after. And it's going to be cool. And then it's going to literally be like the WWE. They're going to make it televised and like have the bell ring and everything. They said they were going to do like a whole like show, almost like more entertaining since it's going to be no fans in the stands. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what we're going to see. If they do the whole no fans on just TV games, I think they're going to do some things with the broadcast that they haven't done before. Like, for example, miking up players, maybe they'll show the seventh inning stretch to make people feel like they're there. Maybe the Yankees guys are still doing the YMCA and it's just on TV or something. You never know. That kind of thing would be kind of cool to see.
That's a good point though, because if the MLB is preparing to do this and have games with no fans and then they just keep it normal, like a normal broadcast, I'm going to be like, you have to take advantage of opportunity and do something different like that.
They will.
Well, because I mean, every inning between batters and between pitches, they pan over the crowd. What are they just going to, they're just going to pan over empty seats. They're going to have to fill that.
Kiss cam.
I think there's going to, I think they should start, you know, maybe interviewing guys in the bullpen that aren't playing more, you know, kind of like an all-star gamey type thing for certain games, at least, and sort of part of that.
It has the potential to be fun.
Yeah.
It's not the same, but fun.
Yeah. And for all those people that, like, I know everybody comments and tweets and all that stuff, and people are saying, like, oh, like, if it's not going to be the same, I don't want to see it. Like, shut up. Like, just stop. You're like, if we're good, if we get anything, if we get that round robin tournament, I'm going to watch it. You're not going to not watch. Like, that's just bullshit to me. Like, everyone's like, oh, if it's not the same, like, why don't we just wait until it's real? Like, yeah, you want to wait a year.
Maybe more.
Think about how long that's going to be until opening day 2021. You want to wait that long just because it's not exactly what you thought it was going to be this year?
Yeah.
No. Like, I'm going to – if they play a home run derby to decide who wins the World Series, I'm watching it. I'm watching whatever they give me, and that's cool.
Yeah. I agree.
Something I noticed that was funny to me was obviously you saw like the Chinese league and stuff like that, like the Rakuten Monkeys, like that team, they walked it off or something. I watched like a highlight of it. I didn't watch the game, but something funny that I noticed was that they had the cutouts of fans in the stands. And I think I also saw a article. I don't know if this is true, but it was about how the MLB might do the same thing. Do you think they'll do the same thing? I think that's weird. I think that's so weird.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think that's a
overseas thing
that they'll take advantage
of. The thing I did see was that people can send in their pictures and, like, I guess pay to put their picture out in the stands. I don't know if they pay or they just send it in or whatever. Yeah. I don't know if that's the way the MLB is going to try and raise money since they won't buy tickets. But if they do that, we're sending in the Bronx Pinstripes group, and we'll put the BP faces out there. That'll be fun.
Yeah. We'll put they can make the engagement fun if they try.
Yeah. I just thought that was weird to me.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see it either way. I'm excited to see some sort of baseball.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I wasn't planning on talking about anything about like, oh, We're not getting baseball on this podcast or anything else like that, but we did get hope. So that's why we brought it up. And yeah. I'm not going to sit here and literally tell you every single episode, be like, oh, yeah, so we're still not getting baseball. No, like we got something new, so we talked about it. But now another little bit of news that we got was the Red Sox decision, obviously, that we're not going to spend too much time on this because it's really not that big a deal. But basically, they just got a slap on the wrist, which I'm not upset about. Like, it's completely different from what the Astros did. I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on that. But basically, what happened was, before we talk about it, what happened was they basically lost a second-round pick in 2020. So funny thing, their replay operator, JT Watkins, is banned from all of baseball in 2020 and banned from being the replay operator in 2021. But he can have a different job other than video operator. So that's cool. But he's basically just the fall guy.
Yeah.
Just the replay operator. And I thought that was weird that he can just have any other job. I don't know. They basically probably told him, hey, listen, we need a name. They need
bite the bullet.
We need a name to send him. Just be our guy. We'll take care of you. And then the last piece was Alex Cora is banned for the season, but it's only because of the Astros stuff, not the Red Sox. So
yeah.
I don't care about this. I don't give a shit. I just thought we should bring
I think I've said it a million times before. I think this whole thing's been beat to death, and this is like, we've been so sick of it, and it came so late that.
But it's not the same as the Astros, I'm trying to say. Like, it's light punishment because it wasn't the same thing. It was gamesmanship. What they did, obviously everybody knows, they took the signs and they just went through the chain of people. And then if you have a man on second, they did it that way, which happens.
Yeah, I'm not nearly as upset. They suck anyway. They're going to suck for the next four or five years. So that's their punishment. I'm done talking about the Red Sox.
I just thought it was,
I don't even have anything to say on it. I'm glad it's over. Yeah. That's it. I just thought it was funny. We don't have to wait for anything else.
I just thought it was funny that the MLB tried to sweep it under the rug and release it the same night as the draft. Just like, the thing we've been looking at forever, we didn't find anything. So just here, and here's the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So that was funny to me. I just wanted to bring it up, just talk a little bit about that. But honestly, Michael Kay said this on the Michael Kay Show, that his bold prediction is that Cora will be the manager of the Red Sox in 2021. And I don't even think that's that hot of a take.
I think I could see him taking him back.
And they love
really?
Him. They love him.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, like, think about it. He didn't get in trouble. Like, he didn't get his suspension for what he did with the Red Sox, so... It's, I guess, forgivable for them. I don't think it'd be the best look for them if they did take him back, but I wouldn't be that shocked if they did.
I'm just saying. I agree with him, but just because they love him. But anyway, that was just a little recap of news we got for the week. We did get some voicemails, so we'll play the first voicemail for us. This one was an interesting one, so I'll play that for you right now.
All right, ladies and gentle schmeezes, G Limbs here, coming at you with a question of the day. So my question for you guys is, who had the best facial hair once they left the Yankees? And with that being said, I'd like to give a nice shout out to Jason Fat Stash Giambi.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, Giambi had a good one.
Thank you, Greg. That was honestly, this is a fun question. So we're going to spend some time on this one because the funny thing with the Yankees, obviously, they have that rule with the beard, and you can have a mustache, but no beard. I think it's below the lip. What is the rule, Murph?
Yeah, so they can't have it. It's like kind of the military rule. I think you can't go below the lip, so your mustache can only come to here, nothing below. And then the back of your head can't touch the collar. Like, your hair can't be long enough to touch your collar.
Yeah. So I think this is funny because there are so many players, obviously, that you see current Yankees that – because you're allowed to grow them out in the off season, and obviously the off season extended. So it's just funny to see who doesn't like the rule, who wants to have a beard. And then obviously when you see players leave, they grow out the beard immediately. And then it's just funny to see that. And like obviously pre-Yankee beards, like people who had beards before. So I don't know. Let's just talk about who we think had the, what was the question? It was who had the best beard
It was after leaving the Yankees.
Well, let's just open it up and say
we can just do it.
Who had the best beard when they weren't on the Yankees?
Yeah, I think we were looking at the photos earlier.
Yeah, I'll share my screen and show a little
Jabba
bit.
Jabba Chamberlain, man, that thing is vicious, and that is one of my favorite ones for sure.
Yeah, I got the Jabba picture up right here.
Jabba's, where is it at? Jabba's, oh my
Jabba
God.
Jabba had the craziest beard. Because it's just funny to see.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It's funny to see him. Like, obviously, that thing's been growing ever since he left the Yankees. You know?
Yeah. He has not shaved that since he played a game with
since
the Yankees.
His final out, yeah. Since
it looked like he used Scott's Miracle-Gro on his face.
Whatever he's using, I want some of that. I want to test out the beard, see if I can get it going.
But that beard is just, that's what you want to see. That's what you want to see after not shaving for a career on the Yankees.
Yeah, look at that thing.
Must be something with Yankees going to the Tigers and just getting beards, because Romine's is pretty hefty right now.
True.
I was literally about to pull up Romine's too. But Romine literally, because we saw Romine's beard in spring training. So obviously he had been growing that thing out the second he left, because, I mean, it's just nuts. Let me see.
Yeah.
Austin Romine.
What year was that, Rella? Do you know? Does it say? I'm not sure. I can't tell.
When did
you can just see his Tommy John.
When did the Tigers win the AL Central?
And he put
2014.
So 2014 then.
I think, maybe. You can just see. Look at how big the scar is on his arm too, from the Tommy John.
Didn't he put a smiley face on it? I think he did.
Yeah, that's what the two eyes are. Yeah, that's impressive.
Like, Romine hasn't.
He looks a little.
Romine hasn't shaved since he left.
But the difference between this one is you can tell, like, he probably didn't have a beard before the Yankees, and then he just started to go all out, and that's why it seems untamed.
I don't know though, dude.
He just seems like the kind of guy that got really upset that he got traded from the Yankees to the Tigers and just kind of let himself go.
Yeah, that's true. He just kind of
in a loving way, because I love Romine. But like, he just looks, there's sadness in his eyes in that picture. And I think it's from being traded to the Tigers or signed by the Tigers.
But it's not well kept. He didn't know how to, he doesn't know how to keep it up. Yeah. He just growing out, this is to fucking grow it out.
Dude, I don't know. This is the back hit next to each other. Like, it's just, that is literally like the last out. And then he just, like, he has the follicles clearly. Like, I don't know. Romine's a big one to me. And it was funny because we noticed that when we were at spring training and we were like, is that Romine? Because we saw the Tigers game and we were like, there's no way that's Romine, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was Romine. Yeah. But no, Damon, I had a few more. Let's go through. Because it's funny.
The biggest one I think of is Damon. I'm obviously not after, but beforehand. He had
Johnny
the
Damon.
One.
Johnny Damon.
Johnny Damon. Yeah, he in the hair too.
Yeah, Johnny Damon had it going.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, Damon.
That's the pre-Yankees. He just has it with long hair, everything.
He
rocks
pulls it
the beard.
I used to have this Yankees yearbook from I don't know what year it was even, but it was the year that we got Damon, and it had like this chapter in it kind of about when Damon got his haircut when he came to the Yankees, and like a bunch of before, during, after pictures of while he was actually getting it cut. It's kind of cool.
I mean, it's just cool to see, like, to me, the rule helps people and it hurts some people. Like, Damon, it hurts him. Like, he looks obviously a lot better with a beard, but then other people, it definitely helps. Like, Tanaka over here. Tanaka, I don't know if it's the combination of the Santa suit and the little goatee, but I don't
know. People hate on it. Just because it's not full doesn't mean it doesn't look good. I
don't think it looks good at all.
I support Tanaka just because I think it's his face that I like.
Like his face, don't like the beard.
This is the third version of the beard. There's the pre-Yankees, post-Yankees, and the off-season Yankees. Gleyber can rock the off-season beard. Gleyber, he definitely has the beard going on.
Yeah.
But in terms of the other, like the all-time, let's talk, there's different types of beards, obviously, that they got. Like, he's got the clean Robbie Cano. He's got the clean beard. He clearly likes that, you know.
Robbie Cano that's like the perfect Robinson Cano beard. Like, if
it's sort of like the Melky.
No other,
Melky's freaks me out.
I don't like people who don't have the connecting anything. It's just
it's like the Encarnacion type beard, like before he came. That's what that reminds me of.
Yeah, like have a little bit of a stash. I don't know. It freaks me out, the heavy chin strap there.
Yeah, not a big fan.
Another interesting one was, this is borderline not allowed, right? That's below the lip.
Borderline not allowed and just looks ridiculous.
That's why
I don't think it looks bad, but yeah, it wasn't allowed under that little soul patch there.
Gary's got a fire.
Show me Gary.
Gary, there we go.
I love how his brand is I am Gary. Like, we get it, Gary.
He just looks like a model. I am Gary.
Look at where he is, too. Is that we going to talk about that? He's going on a nature walk with like a Gucci bag.
I'm not that surprised.
I'm not surprised either, but going in a different route here, some of these, this rule helped some people and it hurt some people. People that it hurt were this guy right here.
Oh my God.
Chasen Shreve looked like a little rat with no beard. And he ended up looking not as bad with a beard. He looks a lot better with a beard, you know?
Maybe that's why he sucked with the Yankees and isn't that bad with the Cardinals.
Is he not that bad with the Cardinals?
I mean, he's better than he was with the Yankees.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure he had a really good season, either last year or season before.
That sucks.
But it's all in the beard. It's all the mojo. Yeah.
But people that it hurt, or no, people that it helped, I think D-Rob looked so clean with it, with no beard, and then he ended up getting a beard. He doesn't look bad, but he definitely looks a lot cleaner with
it. He looks fine. I
think he looks better with a beard.
Yeah, I think he looks better, too.
I thought he looked better no beard.
He definitely looks good no beard, but I think most people look better with a beard, including him.
Yeah, and then there's the acceptable beard. This seems like a PowerPoint presentation. Then there's the acceptable beard that is no beard. I mean, there's the acceptable rule with the Yankees, and that's the classic sheriff stash.
That's
you could see he literally went straight to that lip, and then just like he did as much as he possibly could, as much as he was allowed to do.
Could you imagine making your MLB debut and having to face Jason Giambi stepping into the left-handed batter's box with that thing on his face?
No,
I'd be so scared.
I would not throw to him. And that's the shout out that G Limbs gave to us for this. But honestly, to wrap this beard thing up, and then we'll vote who had the best all-time beard to answer Greg's question. I'm happy about the rule because things like this wouldn't happen. That is just disgusting. I know it's a joke, but I hope it's a joke. But things like that would never happen on the Yankees. And if the Athletics had a rule, we wouldn't be seeing this Mike Fiers thing. So I'm actually glad they have the ability to get beards because this was funny.
Yeah.
And that ends my PowerPoint presentation on Yankees beards through time. So,
not very much time, but a couple years, about 10 years. Because we got some people in the comments about Munson. Munson had a full, I think it was during, I could be wrong, but I think it was during like the Munson era that they started the whole no beard thing. And I think he went from a full beard to the mustache. And he had probably one of the cooler mustaches in MLB history, too.
Yeah. So if we had to vote, who's your favorite? We don't say best. We'll just say favorite beard, Yankee post-Yankee beard.
I'm still going with Java. I think that thing is just, you can't beat it. I think you can't beat it. It's the best one I've seen.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with that. For the sake of argument, I'll say Chasen Shreve because it seemed like not only did he get a cool beard, but he turned his career around a little bit because of it.
And he looked a little better. He didn't look like...
Right. Feel good.
He doesn't look like Jesse Pinkman anymore from Breaking Bad. If I had to cast a vote just to be different from you guys, I might go with Romine just because of how interesting I thought it was because he clearly hated the rule. Like, he had been growing that thing out the second he left the Yankees, and just how quickly it grew, that's insane.
Yeah.
Damon, could your beard grow that fast?
No, mine doesn't grow that fast. Mine grows this way, not that way.
Yeah, because your beard, his is twice the size of your beard, and in like probably a month.
Yeah.
How much time is it from the end of the season to the start of spring training?
Also, think about it. They're clean shaving every time, so that it's just waiting to come out.
True.
You know, it's different.
So the Yankees have the best follicles.
Mine's just there.
So the Yankees have the best follicles in the game because they're always doing the shaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I used to do that when I got my first little piece of facial hair. After that, I'd shave every day to try to get it to grow.
Does that work?
I don't know.
I think it's a myth. I heard that's a myth. I think it's a myth.
It probably is a myth.
Yeah.
Maybe you should try it though.
I tried for like a week. I don't think anything's helping, but.
All right.
Guys, looking to last longer, go a few extra rounds, get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. And they're chewable, so they work faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line. BlueChew's online physician is free of cost, and once you're approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code BLUEWIRE. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code BLUEWIRE. Anyway, let's get to our next voicemail from...
What's up, guys? My name's Neo. I'm from the Bronx. Huge fan of the podcast. I just had a question for you. If you could bring back one retired player to start now, who is it and why?
Question. All right. Good question. Yeah, I like that question. Thank you, Neo. It's like Neo from the Matrix.
You're the one.
You're the one. I used to, from the fun fact, I used to think that they were saying Neil, like Neil Walker.
That's the first Neil that you thought of?
No. Like in, oh yeah.
No, I'm saying as the comparison, you thought Neil Walker of all?
Yeah. I'm a big Yankee. I don't know. That's all I think about.
He's not.
But I used to always think it was Neil. I whenever I would quote that, I'd say, "You're the one, Neil." And everybody was, I think Matt, he was like, "What?
Neil. Yeah.
What did you just, what did you just say?"
This is an interesting question because it's
there's
not the best.
You could go with it.
It's not the best player. It could be the best player, but if you're saying today, it's based on the current needs of the team.
That's what I was saying. That's
which is very, very different than, you know, the best player.
Yeah, there's the obvious answer that people could go with, but let's start with Murph before, so I don't, because he told me his answer. I don't want to steal it because I usually do that.
Yeah, that's true. So I pondered this a lot. I had a few, and like positionally, some. I don't want to say who I was thinking about because you might have thought of one of them, but I thought the best one that I could think of was Roger Clemens. For now, because I didn't know whether we're taking the generational gap. Because, like, you could say Babe Ruth, but is Babe Ruth as good as Babe Ruth was in 1930? Or is he the equivalent to that? Right. So I just thought Roger Clemens was the safest one because he didn't play far enough ago. He'd still be good. And I think him and Gerrit Cole at the top of rotation would be an unstoppable one, too. So I'm going to go with Roger Clemens.
Yeah, and when we were talking about that, I loved that. Because initially we were thinking, like, the obvious... the Jeter pick that everybody would probably go. And that's a cool way to put that because this question's interesting in that you have one position to fill and you can only field 9 players. So where's the biggest need sort of thing? Like obviously you could take the best player and that'd be an upgrade over Glaber. And if we picked Jeter, who for sake of argument, and I'll pick Jeter for mine because then I'd take Jeter, put him at short, move Glaber to second, and then put DJ at first, and then we solve the first base issue because we don't really. Voit is good, but he's not really, or like he's not slated there. Over, I'd rather have DJ there. So in terms of like putting 9 out there, I think moving Jeter to short and then moving everybody around past that would be a good move. But I like what your head was at with that because in terms of just making the team stronger, and especially with Severino going down. Adding Roger Clemens in his prime to that team with Gerrit Cole. I mean, we've seen starting pitching wins World Series or whatever we're going to get this year. Like with the Nationals, Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin. Those two together, paired with obviously the Tanaka, Paxton, everybody like that. That would be scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my thought process. Because if you go into a playoff, basically your top 3 guys in your rotation are the most important in the playoffs. That's why the Astros were so successful the past few years. So if you had Roger Clemens and then Gerrit Cole and playoff Tanaka as your 3 with Paxton and, you know, whoever else behind him or behind them, that'd be just lethal in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah. I would definitely go the same route. I'm not going to say Clemens. I was originally thinking about him, but I would definitely go starting pitcher. And I don't know. I was originally thinking about Pettit.
Yeah.
Because he's nice. It's a strong lefty arm in a rotation that really only has Paxton as a lefty, and he's always a liability or just very inconsistent. So I was thinking about Pettit as my go-to. I think starting pitching is definitely the way to go for bringing somebody back.
Yeah, I could see that. But I mean, obviously, there wouldn't be any wrong answer in this situation, but
there would be one if
it was the wrong answer.
I don't know. I can think of a couple.
But I mean, yeah, there's some wrong answers, but anything that we're going to pick is not really a wrong answer. Like, obviously, you could pick A-Rod. You could pick him at third over Gio. That'd be a very good pick, actually. I might actually change my answer to that, because then instead of shifting out Voit's bat or something, we just take Gio out. And I'd, in terms of hitting, I'd take Voit over Gio. You could go a bunch of different ways with that, but I think the best answer would probably be
I would say that or first Mo. Baseman. I'm thinking
why
about
we bring
it now?
Back Mo. I was thinking, so I had Mo in my head too. I didn't want to say Mo because I figured one of you guys were going to take Mo.
Yeah, so because if you take Mo,
I still think I would take Clements over Mo because of how dominant our bullpen is anyway. But I think Mo, you couldn't go wrong with.
Because you take Mo, what about first baseman though too? There's a lot of great Yankee first baseman.
Yeah,
and that's the biggest hole in the lineup right now.
Yeah, because that would directly solve the issue that I was shifting and solving. It's interesting.
You got Tino, you got Giambi. You got Lou Gehrig, Tex. If we're going to go all the way back there.
Nah,
Mattingly.
I don't want to go too far back because we don't know about the translation. But
well, we can just, I mean, we're deciding. So
Didn't Mickey Mantle play a couple first base?
He was in the outfield.
We're not gonna soil
him in there. See what happens.
We're not gonna soil Mickey and throw him at first. Like if he's coming, in, he's playing the outfield.
Yeah, true.
What are we gonna keep? Like Brett Gardner out there over Mickey Mantle? I don't think so. I mean, I'm all for Brett, but I don't think
Gardner's coming off his best year. I don't know.
Watch
Speaking
out.
Of beards, I wish Brett Gardner could have a beard. I would love to see the bald with the beard. I think he'd look good with a beard.
I'll
put Romine's beard on Gardner and we'll see how it looks.
Don't put Romine's beard. You got to get one that fits.
I'll throw it on the screen right now. Boop. Not now, obviously later when I edit it, but I don't know. I don't think he would look good with a beard.
Yeah, I disagree as well.
Have to say, I think he would look good.
No. So I like that question. So that'll end our voicemails for this episode. Going forward, definitely send us in your voicemails. The number, it's on our Twitter. It's pinned to the top. Send those in. We'll play them on the pod and react to them. Anything you want, questions, topics, reactions, how you're feeling during the quarantine, anything. We'll talk about anything. With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. Missing the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. You can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even Nathan's hot dog eating contest. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. The next topic I wanted to talk about was a debate that we put up on the Twitter. It was, could Judge be the next captain? And I have my opinions on this, but if one of you want to start.
I'll go ahead. Will he is a very, very different conversation.
Maybe
than
could he.
Can he or could he be? You're going to hate me saying this, but I just think it's if there's anyone to be Yankee captain, he's going to be the Yankee captain. If that happens, is a very big if. I was taking a look earlier today about Derek Jeter's career before he became captain. And Derek Jeter became captain in 2003 after playing 8 seasons with the Yankees. And he put up a pretty spectacular stat line up until 2003. He was, you know, top 10 MVP voting four different times, rookie of the year, all-star. It's a very, very impressive resume. And that, along with his natural born leadership and just Derek Jeter being Derek Jeter, that was the inevitable conclusion that he was going to be the Yankee captain. I think Judge is on the way. I think he has that charisma to be the leader, the team leader that, you know, really defines what a Yankee captain should be. He's like the perfect Yankee. He's shown leadership. He's, you know, been the top MVP person for 1 year and was it 12th? I'm looking at it right now. He's the 12th MVP voting before that. And I think that if he keeps this up and puts more consistent stat lines together and stays healthy and continues to be the player that we all hope that he can be, there's potential for it for sure.
I kind of am with you on the whole not being able to decide whether he should or shouldn't be and whether he will or will not be. But I've just been looking at the past, but even before Jeter, and the names that it's Thurman Munson, Greg Nettles, Willie Randolph, Ron Guidry, Mattingly, Jeter. And then that's since Lou Gehrig. So then it was Ruth, Everett Scott, Lou Gehrig before that. So since the
all Yankee legends.
So Gehrig stopped in 1939 and then Munson took over in 76. That's like a 30-year gap.
Yeah.
And then it's still after that, it's only been, you know, 4 or 5 guys. I don't know if Judge fits in that company yet. Could he? Definitely. But he's also getting kind of he's, you know, 28, 29 right now.
Yeah.
He's kind of pushing that.
And
I don't know. He'd need more time.
And you look at those names, they are, again, the Yankee legends. If we're not ready to say, I can't even put those words together. You know, there's a long way to go, but I think the potential is there.
And like, there's some guys that just Yankee legends that aren't on this list.
Yeah.
And some of the best, like Mickey Mantle isn't on this list. And he's one of the best greatest Yankees of all time. Yogi Berra is not on this list. You know, just so many people. And he would just need to, I think it would be pretty extenuating circumstances for him to actually become a captain. Do I think he'd do a good job? Yes. Is he the face of the Yankees? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do I love the guy? Yeah. Is he a captain? I think the best part of the Yankee captain is that it's such an elite company. And I think if we were to give it to him now or in the next few years, it would be premature.
Yeah. So my thought process here to play devil's advocate, because you both don't think because the question is, could he be? Not right now. So I think absolutely he could be because of, and what makes a captain from the names you listed, obviously their performance on the field, their performance as a career, the resume and all that stuff, MVP numbers, which obviously Judge has, because we're going to just indirectly give him that one because he definitely won stats wise and Altuve cheated, whatever. So he has my point being, he has the caliber to put up MVPs, multiple MVPs. Hopefully if he can stay on the field, that's the one thing. He hasn't been able to stay on the field all the time, but the one thing he has in common with everybody who is a captain is the charisma, like the captain-like attitude. Like he has the Jeter-like responses to the media. He like knows how to handle himself. He knows how to handle others. You saw that with Clint and how he used to always handle him. And when he was gone, an interesting thing is when he was gone on injury and he was rehabbing, that's when Clint freaked out. And they have lockers right next to each other. And I don't know if we're going to read too deeply into that, but that's just an interesting thing to note that when he was gone, Clint went out of control. So it just shows how much Judge brings to the table, like emotionally, and that's what you need as a captain. Yes, he doesn't. The counter argument that everybody's making on Twitter and you guys is, and I buy into it too, is that he is injury. Not injury prone. I don't want to say that because I know there have been fluke injuries and I'm a big supporter in that he's not injury prone. But he needs to stay on the field for the next couple seasons. Like he needs to put up these numbers for the next couple years. Yeah. He needs to keep doing that. But I think if he does that, I think the harder thing to do to become a captain, he's already done. Like, you know, he already has the emotional aspect of a captain.
Yeah, his player characteristics play in perfectly to what a captain should be. Completely agree with that. I think the only thing that's holding him back is you look at what defines an actual captain, right? It's being able to stay on the field and be that role model for the rest of the team and be the person who has that experience on the field, who has that playoff experience, who can show the rest of the team the right direction and lead them on the path towards another World Series. And that's what a Yankee captain should be. What?
The path to righteousness.
Yeah, exactly. But like, go ahead, Murph.
I just think the biggest thing that we're kind of overlooking is that Jeter is like the epitome of the Yankees captain. He's like, so at least for our generation, he is the Yankee captain. And it took him 7 years to get named the Yankee captain. So we're looking at, you know, 4 or 5 years now about before Judge would get named captain if it was anything like Jeter. And those 4 and 5 years he would have to show us even more than he already has, even though he's a spectacular player and he's a spectacular Yankee. But that just goes to show how renowned and difficult it is to be a Yankee captain. And I think that's just I would love to see him fill that shoe and be a Yankee captain, but it's a hard,
big thing shoe to fill for Jeter.
I get it. I'm just saying, in terms of the question, could he be? I think yes. I think he possesses all of the aspects. He checks all the boxes to be a captain. He just needs to keep doing it for the next, I don't know how many years. I don't know how many years would be acceptable to name a captain. Maybe I'd say 5 more years if he is acting like this for the next 5 years, maybe stays on the field a little more. Absolutely.
I agree with that. 4 or 5 years.
In the year 2025.
If he continues this up, is still a Yankee and is continuing to be this level of captain-ness.
And the way that sentence was moving, I knew you were going to make up some word that captain-ness. At the end of that captain-ness.
How I Met Your Mother, where he goes, the impossible.
I thought you were going to say
impossible.
I thought you were going to say captaincy or captain.
Either way.
Captain-acity.
Whatever.
I don't know. I think 2025 is the year that we're going to judge on being a captain. I think let's revisit it then. But to spin this a little bit, do you think he is the only one on the captain watch right now? Is there anybody else in mind that you think could be a captain? Are they born yet? Do you think anybody else?
I think he's the only one that's active roster Yankee.
On the ballot.
Somebody in the comments mentioned Guardy, kind of a cool concept. Like, he's wonderful, great Yankee, too old, obviously. Not a captain, but
maybe honorary for a year, like his last year.
But they don't do that. That's the whole point of it, is that they don't do honorary captains. It's such an exclusive list that you can't be like, oh, this guy's like, it'd be cool if he got it, so he should get it kind of thing. It's like you need to be like, it needs to be so obvious that it's not a debate before he gets it.
It's nothing against Guardy either. He's the definition of a perfect Yankee. It's just he has the like leadership. He has all that. I like when he bangs, but captains don't bang on the roof like that. Jeter does. Could you see Jeter doing the let Brett bang thing? No.
If we're sitting here arguing about whether or not somebody should be the captain, they should be the captain. It should be like Jeter. In 2003, nobody was probably objecting Derek Jeter to be the captain, at least not in a big way.
No, I know. So I think in conclusion, whether we mentioned it, just he could be. I think Judge is the only one on that ballot, and it's up to him to decide whether he can sustain that. Another fun DM that we got, actually. I'll leave that to the end, actually. Next topic I wanted to go through was top 5 players under 25. So, obviously, we have a lot of players that are under 25. We got some young guys, the baby bombers, but the one that comes to mind that I wanted to see where he fits on this list was Gleyber Torres, none other than GT right here. Got the new signed jersey. Got the new signed jersey. Can't see it.
And just to clarify, this is the entire MLB.
entire MLB. Yeah, I mean, I think he fits somewhere on the list, but we'll see where you guys go with it. Murph, why don't you start us off?
So I wasn't totally sure whether we were including pitchers or not, but I put him.
Of course you could. I told you we are. They're people too.
Okay, so with pitchers, I put him five.
So read your
so
list.
So I have Bellinger, then Acuna, then Soto, then Jack Flaherty, and then Glaber. So if we're not doing Jack pitchers, he's fourth. Flaherty.
I have the exact same list.
Really?
Yeah, and I think that is the list. Damon, what was your list?
Yeah, I had honorable mention was Moncada.
Yeah,
Moncada's he's later on my list too.
Yeah, what was your top five?
I think he'd be five. Glaber four, and then I have Soto, Acuna, and Bellinger.
So you have. So read from top to bottom. You just went out of
order. I was reading. I was reading my list.
5, 4, 2, 3, 1.
You made that way more
difficult. As I was scrolling, so it was coming up as I was reading it.
You went. You went out of order. That was ridiculous.
I think it's Bellinger, Acuna, Soto, and then Glaber, Moncada.
Yeah. So I think we're all in agreement on at least for the top three: Bellinger, Acuna, Soto. I mean,
I don't think there's a lot of debate.
I don't think there's any movement with that.
They're top players in the league regardless of age.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, though, Bellinger is 24. So when he turns 25, then might be Glaber's time to shine. But being five on that list is not a bad thing. Like, we love Glaber. We're not downplaying how great Glaber is. These are all great players. And I could see some people making the argument that he is a little higher on the list. But in terms of right
now, I think five's the highest he gets. Maybe four if you take Flaherty down. But there are some really good players that I had them up. So I have about probably 10 or 15 names on my screen right now that I had to make a list out of.
Yeah.
And so he's above for me, Tatis, Devers, Albies, Alvarez, Moncada. Those are all guys that could be
Bieber, Devers.
Shane Bieber's up there.
Devers.
Yeah. I said Devers, but yeah, Devers. I think, you know, there's some really good talent.
It's just interesting to me. This is why it was a fun topic, is because the players under 25, like, not only are they, I'm saying the top five players under 25, the majority of the league's talent is under 25. That's why it's a cool thing that not only are they just the best young players, but the league is young. Like, the league is really young.
Which really, like, I really started to notice that, because when we started watching baseball, the league was young. Like, it's always been young.
Yeah.
But when they started to replay all the games back in the 80s and 90s, there's some old, like, you just didn't see that. Like, these are some grown ass men playing baseball in the 80s and 90s. And then now it's just all these young people. I feel like,
yeah, people were supposed to come up and not be the stars that they are now.
And that's why, like, that's why I think the Griffies and the Jeters of the world were like the first, like, young players to break the ice and
burst onto the scene.
It's crazy.
Like, it was supposed to be people come up and then you get knocked back into your place. Like, welcome to the show. Like, that sort of thing. And it's not like that at all. Like,
and the kids showed up.
The kids are showing up. They got the Let the Kids Play movement, that dope commercial with Ken Griffey. That was sick. And honestly, he's like the last one to do it. Like, I mean,
it was about the turn of the century. When Jeter, Griffey, A-Rod, that's when it started.
But now it's just everybody. Everybody's coming up. Like, you got just Trevor Story when he came up and he lit the world on fire. You got just everybody, Tim Anderson winning the batting title.
Bryce Harper.
Trout.
We're not going to talk about Trout.
Devers. There's so many. The list goes on.
Bryant. Gary.
Yeah. The majority of the league's best players are all young, and it's just really cool to see, I think. And obviously, you got some people coming up, like the Jason Dominguez's, who could be in that category. And if it's 20 years ago or however many years ago, I don't know, we might be talking about him not only because we're waiting for him to come up because he's 17, but then how long does it take until he makes an impact? Now we're talking first day impact. Like, if he comes up, he could be making an impact that day. I remember we were at, I don't know which one of you guys were there with us, but I was at Glaber's first game when he got called up, and he didn't get hit that day, but these young players are having impacts. Like, you inject them in the lineup, that's instant buzz. Like, you get instant juice out of, like, young studs that are just coming in and producing. It's crazy. And honestly, if we're revisiting the top five, I think Flaherty did that for the Cardinals. Flaherty's back half of the season last year was historically great. Like he put a .91 ERA in the second half of baseball. That's not only the best in Cardinals history, that's close to one of the best back halves in MLB history. And he's the reason why they made the playoffs. And that's why he definitely gets number four on that list, because his season last year was just unbelievable. But there, long story short, there's no problem being five on that list. That was in long my explanation for why he's five.
He's on five behind some of the most spectacular talent in the MLB aside from age.
And he's in that company. He is one of the most spectacular talents.
Yes, he is. And he's only getting better, which is scary.
Yeah. So our next topic I wanted to get into was our favorite players we can get into. There's obviously no baseball, so let's talk about a little bit of our, because I honestly, our favorite players have shifted so much, and like the youth movement has come along. My favorite player currently on the Yankees is Gleyber Torres. As you can see, I have two jerseys on the wall, one you can't see, but I wanted to get your guys' opinion on who your favorite Yankees are right now.
Murph.
I think Gleyber is also mine, but I also am a huge Tyler Wade guy, so I'll stick with Tyler Wade for now.
Oh my god. I don't know. I feel like a broken record saying Gleyber, but he's just so hard not to like, and it's just, he's like the ideal favorite player, and he's just so much fun to watch. And I know I've said it a million times too, but I'm a huge Clint Frazier fan, so I hope he gets a chance to play, and he'll be my favorite player then. And then honorable mention is Aaron Hicks, because Aaron Hicks is just such a phenomenal player and such an exciting player to watch.
You know what's funny though? I didn't realize how much I loved Aaron Hicks until we did the mini episode on Hicks, and then I realized, wait, I think Hicks is my number two. I think I really love Hicks. So I thought that was interesting, because we did the GIF thing too. Who had your favorite Yankees in GIF form, and there were a lot of different ones. I was expecting like a lot of Glabers and a lot of Judges, but a lot of people love Gardy. I love Gardy too, but he's a lot of people's number one, which was interesting.
I mean, he's been a Yankee for 10, 15 years.
It's just interesting to see who's winning over the fans and how quickly Gleyber has become a lot of people's number ones, which is crazy too.
Yeah.
And some people even said Ford, which that was crazy.
What's wrong with Ford?
His favorite player.
No, I know. I think we're going to start seeing more Andujars, because I think Andujar being hurt all last season kind of that's when he took his backseat to Gleyber, and Gleyber kind of took over. But the year before, it was Andujar and Gleyber. And Gleyber was a little flashier with the glove and everything.
No, it was Andujar.
Andujar can flat out hit. Yeah. And I think Andujar is going to become people's favorite tattoos.
Yeah. I think if he played a full season last year, a lot of people would have him in the top as well. But I think he just, like, it's the recency bias.
Yeah, people are short. That's exactly what it is. People are quick to forget. And Damon just used my term that I enlightened him about.
Recency bias, sir.
He was today years old when he realized that term, but
not.
I think people are very quick to forget things. They like, I don't know how people forget how good Andujar was. He was literally our MVP that year.
Yeah,
I mean, a full season gets in the way, and you see, part of it's because Gio stepped in, and we weren't necessarily missing him as much as we would have if Gio stunk. So.
Yep,
that's part of it.
Yeah. So who next? Who is your favorite all-time Yankee?
That's a tough question.
That's such a tough question. Do you have one? Well, yeah, I think, because
I mean, I probably gonna go. I mean, the fan pick is probably gonna be Jeter, and he definitely is my number one, honestly. But if I was gonna go a different route, probably go Swisher. I just love Swisher.
Yeah.
Everything about him, he was just.
I'm gonna say entertaining. Just because I've, one of my favorite players was Robinson Cano. He was just him watching him field the baseball and hit the baseball was the smoothest thing I've ever watched in my entire life. Like his swing and him feeling that backhand ground ball and just flicking the wrist to first base. Him and then just like an older player would be Bernie.
Yeah. Bernie was on my thought. So yeah, this one's tough because I got to go with somebody that I've grew up kind of watching because it's hard not to. Like I could go back and say Thurman Munson because I love the story of Thurman Munson, but I never got to watch Thurman Munson. So I don't know if I could say he's my favorite, but sticking with catchers, I think my favorite's Jorge Posada.
Yeah.
I like, he was a good fielding catcher, switch hitter. No batting gloves. I didn't wear batting gloves until I was in high school just because Jorge never wore batting gloves. I caught because Jorge was a catcher. Mm-hmm. I wore 5 because my grandfather liked DiMaggio, but you know.
Yeah, I wore 24 all throughout
high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cano was a good one too, though. Cano would have been.
Yeah, that's why Cano reached, Damon reached on Cano in our all time Yankees draft. He took him number 1 overall.
Yeah, well, I thought we were going on who we liked too. So
we are.
That's why I picked him.
We were.
It's not really a reach. So
I mean, he was. That wasn't a bad pick because he was one of the best. Second base is a pretty historically thin position.
Yeah.
For the Yankees and Cano's pretty good.
So who's your favorite? We'll just do another one. Last thing on the favorites, we'll do favorite current non Yankee.
Mine's Acuna. I'm like Braves are my like second favorite team. And I just love watching them play. And I think Acuna is just electric to watch. And he's one of those guys that's going to be the face of the MLB for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Because he plays with that, like, that fire under him. And that's the type of play that we need to see all the time. And he's like a good representation of where we want the MLB to be in,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
4 years.
So I'm saying Lindor for very similar reasons.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. I love watching Lindor.
Honestly, go ahead.
It's just like I can never have a favorite player that's not smooth in the field.
Yeah.
Basically. And he just fits that bill. When there was talk of him coming to the Yankees in this past offseason, with no disrespect to Glaber, I had no problem bringing him into shortstop and sliding Glaber to third or second or wherever just to fit Lindor. I think he would, A, fit really well on the Yankees if he ever were to come over, and B, he's just an outstanding player.
Yeah, I think it was interesting when you, Damon, said, because this is something we've been talking about recently, like who's your favorite secondary team? Like who's your other team? Obviously we're Yankees fans, but like it's cool to have another team, and I like going NL route just so we have another team on the other side. And honestly, my favorite team and my favorite current player not on the Yankees is Nolan Arenado. I love Nolan Arenado, and I think that's my favorite secondary team. And it's cool to pick a secondary team because you don't really care if they lose, but it's fun to watch. So like that's why I picked the Rockies as my secondary team, because like they're going to lose a lot of games because their pitching sucks, but they are fun. Very fun to watch offensively, so that's why.
Also,
to me,
it's also because like picking an NL team, not picking like you know, following an NL team that you like to watch is also really cool, because I feel like last year when I watched so much NL baseball, which you don't typically get to watch all the time. Yeah,
I mean, when we get baseball back, I'm going to watch every game there is. Yeah. I'm going to watch so much baseball.
I'm going to watch Padres Brewers at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, and I'm going to love every second of
it. I would literally cut my leg off to watch the Orioles play the Mariners. I don't, like any type of baseball, I wouldn't cut my leg off, but I'd like to watch any game possible. And when that game does happen, I'm going to watch every second of it. It's going to be great. But ending that, why don't we get into our DMs and wrap this thing up?
Yeah, let's do it.
First DM we got was an interesting one. It was the walk-up song predictions, like who, like maybe reflecting on what walk-up songs we've seen from the Yankees last year, and maybe make a little prediction on what they could end up doing. One that came to mind from last year, we've talked about it before, the walk-up song, Gio's walk-up song, is just like basically a Bible scripture. Like it was just a Bible, like a praise Jesus song. I think Gio goes that same route again. I think I don't have any song in mind, but maybe we have John Sterling read literally a Bible scripture. That could go. Like whenever Gio gets up there, he gets on the loudspeaker and he starts just reading out like
gospel.
He reads spirit, out, yeah, like
spirit in the sky or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Just like a chapter in the Bible, and he just that's Gio. And then if you're the pitcher and you hear that John Sterling's voice saying that, what do you do? You can't do it.
Angels in the outfield, man.
You intentionally walk him. You intentionally walk him every time.
Just let the ball fly.
I don't know. So I had one. So not a big, I'm a very specific and old-fashioned taste in music. So not a lot of, I didn't know half the songs that Yankees walked up to. But Gardy had this, like a Luke Bryan country song. And so I thought it'd be funny if sticking with the country thing, he had Ain't As Good As I Once Was by Toby Keith. Because the whole premise of the song is, I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was, which I think would fit Gardy's season. Like, he's coming back for one more. He's damn. Not the young Gardy, but, like, you know, say he steps up, hits a grand slam or something. Good once as he ever was.
Wow. That's
I thought deep. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, you went deep with that one.
That's deep.
That's really deep, Murphy.
Yeah, no, that was the only one that I was like, oh, that'd be kind of funny.
And yeah.
I'm going with Aaron Judge because one of his walk-up song was the smoothest thing I've ever heard was the bang, and then it was All Rise, and then Through the Late Night played.
Well, that wasn't his. That wasn't his last year.
I know
that was 2 years ago, but that was still awesome.
That was my favorite walk-up song because I'm a like diehard Kid Cudi fan.
Yeah,
and Kid Cudi and Travis Scott just came out with a new song called "The Scots" a couple days ago. So recent news, that's gonna be the song. No doubt in my mind.
You think? Lock it in.
Lock it in. No doubt in my mind.
Place your bets.
All on the Scots. The Scots are going to take it home.
What was his last year? Was it The Pure Water?
I don't know. I think it was a Drake. I don't know. I think it was a Drake song, maybe.
It wasn't as good as 2 years ago. His rookie was that his rookie year?
Yeah, Feel Late Night was just. It was just so smooth.
That was 2 years.
2 years ago. Yeah.
It was so smooth with the bang.
Yeah, that
Judge
was
last year.
Last year's wasn't. I remember it wasn't as good. I the one that's interesting. What route is it?
It was mustard, pure water.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Yeah, I didn't really like that as much, but an interesting one. Does DJ go the same route that like because that was a shock to the world? DJ comes out with the Speed It Up.
And I hope he keeps it. I hope it's the same thing.
You want an exact same song?
Exactly the same. I think that whenever I listen to that song now, it resonates exactly with DJ LeMahieu getting up to bat. And
now it does, but when you first heard that,
it's so perfect.
When you first heard that, there's no way.
Yeah,
like when DJ LeMahieu walks up there, Joe Random, you are not expecting. Speed
that.
It up.
I have my speed eyes up. I'm like, all right. I think Aaron Hicks is probably getting up right now. Like,
yeah, if you had your eyes closed, literally.
Yeah, my eyes closed. Yeah.
I was looking at just kind of some walk up songs from around the league, just to see if any would be cool if one of the Yankees guys did it instead. Now, I didn't know this. You guys might have. But Otani's walk-up song when he's hitting is the Game of Thrones theme song.
Is it?
Yeah. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
That's wild. So cool. 'Cause I've been talking about, like, I think I said that to somebody. Like, somebody should do that. That'd be lit.
No, he did.
Like, imagine you walk up to the Game of Thrones theme song. Like, you can do anything.
I think I was kind of disappointed because he has that when he's batting, but I think it would be cooler if he walked out to pitch. But I guess he doesn't really come out of the bullpen. So
yeah,
I guess that's why, because it actually comes out.
Well, when he warms up, he could probably play it.
Yeah,
I guess. But like, it's not as cool to warm up as it is to walk out.
That's wild.
You know,
that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. But my other favorite was Charlie Blackman had Your Love by the Outfield. Thought that was a really cool one too.
I knew you would just throw another one in there. Just like another Le Murphy favorite song. That's why you liked it. It was the classic. I mean, he looks like he should be having a nice country song. Like Brett Gardner, I expect.
That's not a country song.
Is it not?
It's not a country song.
It's like it's Josie's on a vacation. Far away.
Oh, yeah. I like that song.
That one. Yeah. You will never, ever get me to sing into a microphone ever again.
Why?
So enjoy.
I guarantee it.
We can do a Murphy's Got Talent.
I will get you singing to the microphone again.
We can do Murphy's Got Talent. Next Tuesday, everybody. We're going to do Murphy's Got Talent. We're going to put him up there. And we're going to have him start singing anything.
Can we all come up with a skill, like a hidden skill, and just have like a hidden skill for 10 minutes?
That's Murph.
Yeah, we got to find one.
I think Murph is going to do that. Murph's going to have his two skills are having great hats that don't, that are broken, and having a good voice.
Murph can teach how to make a fire at halftime.
I don't think, I was saying to you before we got on air, that hat is, like, it needs to be broken. There's, it can't be like a hat that's, oh, that's like perfectly fine. Like it was better.
Wayne's World.
It's better.
Well, this was funny. So before we got on to actually record, we were on trying to set this all up, and I was like looking around, and I'm home obviously for the quarantine, and I'm like, I'm recording a video show to be released on the internet in my mom's basement. I feel like I'm on Wayne's World. And then it occurred to me that I have a Wayne's World hat, so I'm wearing it.
I don't blame you. In my mom's basement.
There's Murphy for you.
My mom's basement.
Last thing I wanted to close this out with was Damon, since this is, it was just interesting. Damon got famous recently. Damon went viral.
I did.
Damon.
It's first time for everything. You know, I want to thank my
first time owner, viral tweet,
who were sticking around for me from the beginning. Do you want me to go into it?
Yeah, go into it. I mean, Damon, you're not a math guy.
Keep in mind, before he did, keep in mind, about a month ago, we all received a text, "How do you use Twitter?" from Damon.
I did.
And a month later, made it. He figured it out.
Mama made it. I was like, how do you get like your comment above someone else's tweet? And I was like, is that a retweet? Like, do I press something different?
The quote tweet.
Do I need to update my phone? I was like, what do I do? Is it my Wi-Fi connection?
And it's interesting that this is the one that went viral for you because you're not a math guy. Everybody should know that about Damon. Damon's not a math guy. This isn't a math pod, but Damon's definitely not a math guy.
Yeah.
But so, first time owner of a viral tweet. Here we are, Damon.
So the tweet was, it was a picture of Garrett Cole's house, and it was like a live look at Garrett Cole's $5.6 million mansion in Greenwich, Connecticut. And I was like, $5.6 million. I was like, I remember seeing some breakdown of his contract about how much money he makes per game or whatever. So I was like, let me try and figure out how many strikeouts this guy needs to pay off his house. So according to the math, Garrett Cole needs to strike out 51 players to pay for a $5.6 million mansion. Yes, I did the math.
It's about four games.
That is about, four games if he's consistent. Four good games.
That's wild.
Yep.
Yeah.
What does he do the rest of the 158 games? I don't know.
Anything else? I mean, if we play baseball, I don't know. But all right, that's it from me. Anybody else have anything?
I think that's it. Thank you everybody for joining on the first live episode. We'll be live again soon.
Thank you guys.
And for everyone who's watching, who probably is that much right now, live trivia tonight.
Oh, true.
30. Yeah. Be there.
We will be joined by Kevin Fuller and Matt Barletta.
Yes, live trivia tonight.
We've been doing that every week, and it's been a lot of fun. So we've been doing just Jeopardy boards, anything baseball, not just Yankees related. So if you're tuning in with us live right now, if you're listening on the podcast, we're going to start doing it every week because we don't have baseball for a little bit. So just tune
into
that.
Even when
the
game starts up again, we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, it's a fun time. We're big trivia guys. We might as well just have some fun with you guys.
Maybe thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
So if we... I don't know. We might end up getting you guys on. Maybe Coach can play some trivia with us. So we'll do that.
I'm back. 8:30 tonight.
8:30. See you guys there.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now. Wish right now. Wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now. Or a genie or a wish to go back to a place much simpler than this. 'Cause
cause after all the partying and smashing and crashing, and all the glitz and the glam and the fashion, and all the pandemonium and all the madness, there comes a time where you fade to the blackness. And when you staring at that phone in your lap, and you hoping but them people never call you back, but that's just how the story unfolds. You get another hand soon after you fold. And when your plans unravel in the sand, what would you wish for if you had one chance? So airplane, airplane, sorry I'm late, I'm on my way, so don't close that gate. If I don't make that, then I switch my flight, and I'll be right back at it by the end of the night.
Can we pretend that airplane's in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now.